It's Odds on Sports on The Fan with your host, John Jastrzemski, JJ After Dark.
Let's roll, baby. It's 7:04 here on this Thursday evening. It is a Thursday edition of Odds on Sports presented by our friends over at FanDuel Sportsbook as we move closer and closer to the start of Week 13 in the National Football League. And a little bit of an empty feeling here on a Thursday, and it's not the first time this has happened this year where you don't have some Thursday night football to dive into. But even though you don't have a football game tonight, think about how it shakes up Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. You got a whole lot of action. You got a full slate on Sunday. You got a double dip on Monday with Washington and Pittsburgh into Buffalo and San Fran. Then you have a Tuesday night game with Dallas and Baltimore. And then you get a Thursday night game with the Patriots and the Los Angeles Rams. So if you can get through tonight and tomorrow, and maybe, I don't know, watch a Christmas movie, maybe get your Christmas tree, put up your lights, do some decorations, whatever you got to do, or maybe get in a little college basketball for all I care, you will be afforded the luxury of basically a full week. 1, 2, 3, 4 different windows in about like 5 or 6 days. So as far as I'm concerned, that is pretty, pretty good. Now, I always like to look at these updated, up-to-the-minute division odds as, you know, we're sitting here in the middle of a week. They like to update these odds the minute, you know, there are no games being played because the books don't want to have odds up. Heaven forbid there's an injury. All of a sudden, they got a team as a big underdog, and they're no longer going to be a big underdog, and it's major liability. I'm looking at the up-to-the-minute odds to win a couple of divisions. The odds makers are telling you right now, Buffalo is going to win the AFC East pretty easily. Why do I say that? Buffalo right now is minus 550 to go and win the AFC East. For the Bills not to win the AFC East, you're getting them at plus 345. Basically looking at Miami, who is 7-4. We'll have to wait and see if it's going to be Tua or Fitzpatrick on Sunday. Tua, as you just heard, is a game-time decision. New England, who has probably no chance of winning the division, but 5-6, I guess mathematically alive. I wouldn't want to lay 5.5-1 odds on Buffalo, but I think those numbers tell you they're going to win the division. Tennessee, similar value there. They're minus 450 to go and win the AFC South after their big win against the Indianapolis Colts. For the Titans not to win the division, you're getting them at plus 300. Those are two automatic stayaways for me. To me, if you wanted to take Tennessee or Buffalo to win the division, you missed the boat. Now, I'm going to give you two that I like. NFC is currently. Here are the up-to-the-minute latest odds on this division that is wide open. You have two co-favorites as we speak. The New York Giants are one. The Washington football team would be the other. You basically could get the Giants or the Washington football team here on December the 3rd, plus 180 for each of them. Philadelphia Eagles, plus 240, which to me is way too low a number. I know Philadelphia has the tie. I know they're basically only a half game back, but have you seen Carson Wentz? Have you seen the Philadelphia Eagles? Would anybody want to put money down on the Eagles to go and win a division this year? No way. Dallas is at plus 450. To me, if you're looking for value, the value's with the Cowboys and the schedule that they play. They have the easiest schedule out of any of these four teams. Giants have played the best football. Washington has the best quarterback, and their quarterback is still on the field. I wonder if these odds change a little bit. Assuming you get, you know, a surprise. If you don't and all four of these teams lose, very likely. Giants big dog Sunday. Washington big dog Monday at Pittsburgh. Dallas big dog at Baltimore. Philly big dog at Green Bay. So if all four of these teams lose, unless one of them gives you a really good showing, I would bet the odds makers not really going to change much there. You got a feeling one of these teams is going to go and win outright. That, to me, is where you look to capitalize. I'll tell you one that I like. It's a hefty number, but it's a reasonably hefty number. That's Seattle to win the NFC West, which I see right now at minus 240. You got to lay pretty considerable and significant juice. However, look at Seattle's schedule. They got Colt McCoy and the Giants this week. They got a game with the Jets coming up. They got a bunch of games at home. They're going to win this division. I know they lost to LA, and you can make the argument that LA could beat them twice. LA also has to come and play in Seattle. Much tougher place for them to play. But I would feel pretty good, actually, about laying 240 with Seattle going to win the division. Giants, Jets at home, at Washington, home Rams, at Niners. And they're 8-3. So they have a little bit of a cushion, they have a little bit of wiggle room. I'm all in on the idea of playing that minus 240. It's a hefty number. Missed the value on it. But I think Seattle will find a way to win the NFC West. And if you're looking ahead to Sunday, and you're starting to really research your card, you're starting to see where these lines are shifting, I'll tell you a game that's going higher and higher and higher. I sound like Jackie Wilson, but it's true. The Vegas Raiders and the New York Jets. And you know what? To me, that line opening at 8 and then for a minute going down to 7.5 made absolutely no sense. I know the Raiders lost to the Jets last year, but that makes it, to me, more appealing to get involved with Vegas. Revenge spot, get right spot, desperate need of a win against the Jets. I mean, listen, what do I sign? To me, I would want Vegas teased, bought down, parlayed every which way. And I'm still alive in a knockout pool where I got to pick two teams this week. I guarantee it is. The Vegas Raiders will be one of those teams. Welcome back to Odds on Sports, presented by our friends over at FanDuel Sportsbook. Let's welcome in our brother, our dude, a member of the Degenerate Trifecta, Against All Odds, Extra Points Pod. He's got many gigs these days. Harry Gagnon. Harry, what up, what up, what up? How we doing?
JJ, what's happening, man? Thanks for having me on, as always.
Harry, my pleasure. It's always good having you on. Dude, we have had some nutty, crazy covers in the NFL over the last couple days. I mean, from that Hail Mary at the end of the Seattle-Philly game to Hollywood Brown breaking one at the end of the Ravens-Steeler game, we've had some nutty, nutty games these last couple days.
Wild. I mean, you throw in just even like, what, three weeks ago, the Hail Mary with Kyler Murray against the Bills. Throw that in, too. That was a wild one. It's been wild, man. You're absolutely correct.
Okay. As we now kind of take a step back for a minute and think about what we saw Sunday, what we saw Monday, on and on we go. What was your biggest takeaway, Harry, in watching all the football that you did last week? Was there one particular team? Was there one game that really stood out to you? For me, the Raiders playing as poorly as they did against Atlanta, it now puts me on high alert with them this week against the Jets. There's no way in the world, Harry, the Raiders are going to be as bad as they were last week, right? It's just not possible.
JJ, when you just asked that question, I swear the Raiders came to my mind knowing how awful they were against the Falcons. Falcons played the best game they played all season. They lost by 37, couldn't get a touchdown together. And the Raiders now have lost two in a row, similar path they're going down here that they did last year. They could have made the playoffs last year, if you recall, with Chucky and with John Gruden and getting it done, but they couldn't. They lost 5 of 6 to close the season last year, and they're on that path again this year, losing two in a row here. But this is what's the perfect remedy to lose, to snap a losing streak, is to play the Jets. I think the Raiders rebound. I actually like them this week. I'd say I definitely love them on a teaser, tease them down to -2, but even -8. This Jets team is disgusting. Sam Darnold doesn't know what he's doing. He can't read secondaries. I said that from day one when he went to the NFL. He's played 4 straight football games, 60 minutes, 4 straight games where he has yet to throw a passing touchdown, JJ. Sam Darnold is awful. You can't have him. He had 2 picks last week. So actually, I think the Raiders rebound here and I get this win. But still, like, if I'm going to pick a team here besides the Raiders, listen, I got to give it up to my Giants. I was very happy getting the win. They snuck by Cincy. They didn't cover the spread at the end. Cincy got a late touchdown, but the Giants won the game. First three-game winning streak they've had since November of 2016. I know not a lot of people are giving them a lot of chance here on Sunday against Seattle with Colt McCoy probably playing, but you know what? Their defense is fifth in the league overall. Seattle hasn't been lighting the world on fire. Who knows with the Giants?
Harry, you think that's a good T-spot right there? Let's do a little family New York local action tease. Teasing the Raiders down, teasing the Giants up. Getting the Giants at like 16.5. How do you feel about that?
I do like that because, you know, look, I just mentioned how we all know how awful the Jets are, but I love teasing the Giants up. Giants all season, despite, you know, the record at 4-7 and whatever, out of those seven losses, they've only lost once. That was to San Francisco by more than 10 points. So teasing it up, I love that.
Okay, Harry, let's get to a line that to me, the moment of this game made absolutely no sense. And I couldn't believe the odds makers installed the LA Chargers as a 1.5 point favorite against the New England Patriots. I mean, what am I missing there? The Chargers might be the worst coached team in the league outside of the Jets. I mean, you saw what Anthony Lynn and Chargers did up in Buffalo. I mean, they basically did everything in their power not to cover that game. Don't you get the sense New England should have been favored by a lot more?
Maybe a little bit, but still, Cam hasn't been playing that well at all overall. I mean, but Lifetime 2-0 against the Chargers. He's won both games by double digits. I think it's more the Pats aren't getting the respect because of their offense, but their defense has been keeping them in games. They had no right winning that game against Arizona last week. They still pulled it off with only like 179 total yards of offense. Their defense is playing, still keeping them, like I said, in games. And their cornerback, no one's given this J.C. Jackson any credit. This guy's second in the NFL in picks with six. So again, yeah, I know what you're saying here. And the Patriots somehow have five wins and still are in this playoff race, and the Chargers just seemed, I mean, even 2 weeks ago against the Jets, they looked terrible in that game, winning that game. So, yeah, I hear what you're saying here, and I do like the Pats a little bit here, too.
Harry, you think it's a good buy-low opportunity with the Indianapolis Colts? The news that Fuller's done for the year with the PEDs, Roby done for the year with PEDs. I don't know what's going on in Houston. I guess they're hanging out with Brian Cushing too much, clearly. But I'm seeing the Colts only favored by 3.5 points. I know Watson's playing some really, really good football.
Right.
And the Texans have looked a lot better. But you get the Forrest Buckner back. That defense been balling out. What's your take on Indy, Houston, and would you lay 3.5 with the Colts?
Well, you know what? To start the week, I was on, even against all odds, JJ, I gave out the over in this game. And that was still with knowing that Fuller was going to be out. I still like to think there's going to be points here because, like you just said, Watson has been balling, 24 touchdowns, 5 picks. And he doesn't have a lot of receivers. Now that he doesn't have Fuller, that is a huge loss. The Colts need to rebound after playing the last couple of weeks, haven't been playing that well, got rolled by the Titans. I think there's a situation here. Look, the division rivals here, they are 6-2, the Colts. And straight up in the last eight in Houston. I think they bounced back here. And again, like you mentioned, look, no Fuller here. We could watch it. We could all of a sudden see the Texans just tank again. Just when you think that they're playing well, when they've had two games in a row where they've won, now maybe they tank again because no Fuller. I like the Colts to cover.
Harry, I can't wait to watch Cleveland and Tennessee. And with Cleveland, I can't believe we're sitting here and they're 8-3 on the air. They have been to me like the most unimpressive 8-3 team you're ever going to see. I know this line opened at 4, skyrocketed to 6. Now I'm seeing it at 5.5. I don't feel great about the number either way. I think Tennessee wins the game. I think they're a better team. Do you have a feel for Cleveland and Tennessee on Sunday?
You know, I sort of like the over in this game. I think it's like a 53. I think there's going to be a lot of points scored here, but I hear you. I mean, this Cleveland team, the key cog to this team, obviously, is Nick Chubb. Nick Chubb is 6-1 when he's playing. They're 2-2 when he's not playing for the Browns. He had his best game of the year last week against Jacksonville at 144 yards. He just seems – he's averaging over 5 yards a carry. He's a stud. And Baker Mayfield, for people who want to bash him all the time, listen, last 5 games, he's got 7 touchdowns, just 1 pick. He's been keeping the drives alive. He's been efficient. And the defense has only given up 16 points in their last 4 games combined. This is a sleeper team, this Cleveland team. But also, like you mentioned, I think still the Titans are a better team overall here. They played each other last year, and the Titans won in Cleveland by 30. The offense is clicking. They're just rolling, putting up big points, and it's not even Tannehill. He hasn't had to do too much. It's Derrick Henry, who's just been a beast lately. And this is a situation where just I like the over here, but I think we make a good case here for Cleveland to cover the points, maybe lose by a field goal over four. But if you're getting 5.5, you get the money.
How fired up are you that we have two games on Monday and another game on Tuesday? Isn't that? I mean, it makes up for tonight, Harry, not having a football game. I'll gladly take that, you know?
You know what? Someone asked me that, too, and I said, exactly. I said, listen, you got to take the good with the bad, but listen, we got no Thursday night game. I know it feels like feels naked a little bit, but we're getting all these extra games during the week. It's like, I mean, how great was that yesterday to just be able to watch Pittsburgh, Baltimore, I'm out here on the West Coast. 12:30, I got NFL action on a Wednesday. How great was that? I loved it.
Oh, I believe it. Afternoon football for me, 3:40. You're getting it at like 12:40. Must be nice. Speaking of the Monday night game, though, Buffalo and San Fran. I know you've been a big Josh Allen guy. I know you've been a big Buffalo guy. That line is telling you a story, I think, with movement. I love the Niners. Harry, point blank, they were my best bet last week. They won outright against the LA Rams. I've seen that line move from Buffalo laying 2.5. It's down to 1 at FanDuel. I'm seeing the Niners actually are favored by a point. And to me, that's the sort of game with the movement and everything I'm seeing out of San Fran getting guys back. You either take San Francisco in that game or you stay away. Are you riding with the Niners with yours truly?
Oh, I'm riding with the Niners, absolutely. I got them already, JJ, money line at +128.
I guarantee you, Harry, you ain't finding a 128 anywhere else. No way.
You ain't going to find it now, no. I mean, hey, listen, the Arizona 49ers, I love them, right? They're playing in Glendale. They got to play down down here in Arizona. That's okay. I love them here in the spot. This is also the scene where, like I mentioned earlier, Murray had the Hail Mary pass against the Bills. Bills got to come back here. Listen, maybe I'm just rooting a little bit too much for the Niners here because I do have that bet that we've discussed where I have Miami, your Dolphins winning the AFC East. But I think they can get it done here, the Niners. They've got, like you said, they're getting healthy. They're not out of the playoff hunt yet. They still have Washington, Dallas on their schedule. They stun the Bills here. Bills and Miami takes care of business against Cincy. We got a two-team race tie in the AFC East. I love it. Let's go Niners.
Harry, absolutely. Listen, from a Miami standpoint and maybe from a wagering standpoint, that is where the loyalty will lie. Now, let's get to your best bets for the weekend. What do you have on the card? What are the can't-miss plays? What are you all over as we now look at this Week 13 and your favorite lines on this particular day?
You know what I'm looking at, and I don't even care that it's now from 3 down to 2.5 because I've already gone money line. Doesn't this Saints-Falcons game stink a little bit?
Yeah, it sure does. The only hesitation I have, Harry, is I took Atlanta against New Orleans like 2 or 3 weeks ago and got burned because the Falcons didn't show up. That's the only reason I have a little bit of hesitation.
True, but they did only give up 24 points, and last year they played them very tough both times. When they played in New Orleans last year, when Atlanta was terrible and not doing anything, they held New Orleans to no touchdowns at home. I think it's this division rivalry. I love the Falcons in the spot. They've won 3 of the last 4. Over that three wins out of four game span, they're averaging 28 points a game. Raheem Morris has his defense playing well. Atlanta's defense, 0 touchdown passes. They've allowed, we mentioned that game against the Saints, but they didn't have any touchdown passes. Atlanta has given up 0 touchdown passes in its last 8 quarters. Give me the Falcons. Again, like I said, they've won 3 of the last 4, 4 of the last 6. They scored a defensive touchdown last week. I'm taking the Falcons money line over the Saints.
Harry Gagnon, Extra Points Pod, against all odds. Harry, love you. And do we have a line yet for Saturday? Forget about the college football. The game I'm looking forward to the most is on the hardwood. It's Gonzaga and Baylor. What do we think that line's going to be? Gonzaga laying like 5.5, 4.5?
Can't wait. Now, the game's in Indy. The game's in Indianapolis, so...
It's an Indy. I mean, it was a neutral site. That's what I meant. Yeah, neutral site.
People still, I mean, Baylor, very impressive last night as they rolled Illinois, who's got a very good team, too. But, yeah, I'd say Gonzaga 4, maybe 4.5. They struggled a little bit with West Virginia, took care of business down the stretch, but they, boy, they're Gonzaga's so good. They've got a couple guys averaging 22 points and more or more. They've already beaten Kansas on the schedule. They beat Auburn by 23. But Baylor, like I said, they got three players getting 16 points or more as well. I'd say Gonzaga minus four. Since Baylor won big against Illinois and Gonzaga had a little bit of a struggle against Bob Huggins' team, like you said, if it's minus four, I think Gonzaga bounces back here and plays even better and rolls Baylor maybe by 10 points. And what are we doing here, buddy? What are we doing about our Cuse? They struggled against Bryant.
Yeah, well, they're not going to have Buddy Boeheim tonight, by the way, who is in the protocol. He did not test positive, but I guess close contact, whatever the deal is, he's not playing. It's Niagara, though. I mean, they should be able to roll out of bed and beat Niagara. Am I laying 19.5 points, though, Harry? Absolutely not. No chance.
I know. They got Ryder on Saturday, but JJ, I'm going to give a team out here. I'm going to give you a team that I'd like to win the whole thing at 11-1 on FanDuel right now. I love this Iowa Hawkeyes team. Luka Garza is a beast. 6'11", 270. You realize, dude, he's averaging 34 points a game, 10 rebounds, 3 blocks. I know not against great quality teams, but he's averaging 86% from the field. He was 14 of 15, 11 of 14. This guy can carry a team throughout, you know, a situation like we're at with no fans and everything. He had 38 points against Indiana last year, 44 against Michigan. Luka Garza is going to be my player of the year, and I'd look out for the Iowa Hawkeyes all season.
I love you digging deep. Harry, always a pleasure. We'll do this again soon. Keep up the good work, all right, buddy?
You're the man, JJ. Take care, pal. Thanks.
That's Harry Gagnon from the Against All Odds podcast. Fun edition of Odds on Sports.